The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Week 3 is here, and there are some fascinating matchups on tap. A lot to get to here on NFL Live today, and we're going to get you ready for everything you need to know about the weekend. We've got Chiefs-Chargers, two of the best young quarterbacks in the game, but we've also got Tampa Bay taking on the Rams, and we'll tell you everything you need to know about that game, as well as everything you need to know about Chiefs-Chargers. Two of the best young quarterbacks, as I mentioned, in Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes, and a lot that we need to talk about that, but also a lot we need to talk about tonight, because week 3 begins tonight. You got Keyshawn Johnson right here. You got Marcus Spears there. Dan Orlovsky. Hey, the reason
yesterday
Dan's going to tell
hello
you.
Hello and hey.
Yeah, hello. We got some weird.
What am I going to tell
here.
Him, Ruddy?
You're going to tell him the reason why Sam Darnold is mentally unbreakable. That's coming later. But we do have football tonight, as I said. We begin with Adam Schefter, the latest news around the league, beginning with Lamar Jackson. What do we know, Adam?
Laura, he was not at practice today. Now, he said yesterday that his hip was sore from the touchdown flip right here. But there's a real chance it was not related to his hip soreness that he missed practice today. Nevertheless, he was not there today, didn't practice. We'll see his status for Sunday, the latest quarterback question mark during the day. Carson Wentz not at practice for a second straight day today. Sprained ankles. Look, we could see Brett Hundley. We could see Jacob Eason. We don't know which quarterback the Colts are going to go with, but it's certainly tracking right now as if Wentz will be unable to play Sunday's big divisional matchup against the Tennessee Titans. And Odell Beckham Jr. came out today and said, we'll see as to whether or not he can play on Sunday. Now, he was a full participant in practice on Wednesday, practiced again today. So those are encouraging signs. Don't know that we'll get a full Odell Beckham Jr. workload. But again, it is trending the right way for him right now. Meanwhile, week 3 gets underway tonight with Davis Mills, the Texans rookie quarterback, stepping in for the injured Tyrod Taylor, who's on injury reserve with a hamstring injury. He'll be up against Sam Darnold and a resurgent Panthers defense. Sam Darnold's played very well with his first couple of games, and as Dan Orlovsky himself has just said, Sam Darnold's unbreakable right now. But Davis Mills is trying to make a name for himself against a tough Carolina team. And we'll get the start of week 3 tonight in Houston.
Yeah, Adam, to your point, Sam Darnold's gotten off to a great start this season with the Panthers. More Adam coming later, but back to Sam Darnold, especially when you compare his numbers to how he played through his first two games last season with the Jets. He's averaging over 2 yards more per attempt and picking up first downs on 44% of his passes. While it's only a small sample size, right, Darnold ranks 6th in the league in total QBR this season. Key is Sam Darnold, we're giving him a lot of love off the top of the show, but is
come
he
on, Sammy.
Credit in his role for the Panthers' success right now?
You know, I don't believe he is, but I understand why. When you look at what transpired in New York under Adam Gase and them not being able to develop him and being traded, picking up Zach Wilson as a number 2 pick overall, and everybody sitting there saying to themselves, he's not the guy that we saw at USC. Well, clearly he's not that guy because there's no Christian McCaffrey in that backfield. There's no Robbie Anderson. There's no DJ Moore. So when you look at where he's at in Carolina, you put him there, take that team and put him in New York in that uniform and some of those players, what would he look like? He got competent coaches on the offensive side of the ball as a head coach as well as a play caller and Joe Brady. They know exactly what they have. And I just think that people are kind of undervaluing him because of the early stages of his career.
Yeah.
And Dan can speak to that, but from a quarterback standpoint, when you don't have playmakers, you're going to look like he looked in New York. Yeah. Look at Zach Wilson.
Yeah. And Marcus, I mean, the other thing, too, is it is a small sample size, but you like the sample size you've seen from Matt Rhule.
Oh, yes, I have. Listen, I'm feeling like, look, Key got the second button down, so I took my second button down.
Well, don't go any further
Laura
than that, okay?
Wear her Versace. And y'all feeling like y'all feeling like Sam Darnold feeling with his new situation. And Dan looked like Sam Darnold of the New York Jets. He looked terrible. So, let's go. This is why I'm so excited about the Carolina Panthers. Matt Rhule is my favorite coach in the NFL, and it's because of what he's been doing. It's because of his buy-in from his players, his ability to see talent, his ability to see Sam Darnold in New York and say, man, we can fix that guy. That's a lot of talent at that position. And you see it starting to come to fold. Christian McCaffrey, Robbie Anderson gets an extension. The Carolina Panthers are doing what we thought they would do by the commitment that the owner Tepper made to Matt Rhule. He gave him a loan contract. He said, this is your franchise and organization. You go out and do what you need to do in order for us to win. So many really good young players on this defense, y'all. Sam Darnold looks like he's resurging, and they got that man back in the backfield who's playing out of his mind in Christian McCaffrey. Carolina in a good spot right now.
Yeah, in this situation, I'm Matt Rhule and can see talent, and you're Adam Gase, and you have no idea what it looks like, to be clear.
Whoa, whoa.
He couldn't wait.
Through 2 weeks, I don't know if we can say for sure that Sam Darnold is going to be an absolute superstar. While I think he will, we know he is unbreakable. We've heard that kind of word thrown around to start the show. Because you can already tell he's moved on from what New York did to him, or didn't do to him, so to speak.
Yeah.
And that's a rarity, because we often talk about the young quarterback in the NFL, and we go, you put him in a bad spot, and he loses, and you get him beat up, and he struggles, and you're going to ruin him real quickly. And that should have been what happened to Sam in New York. Sam should have been ruined by what happened to him in New York, but he is so mentally tough. And so, I think thick-skinned to be able to take it, Key, and be like, no, I'm better than this. I know I'm better than this, so to speak, as long as I have a different opportunity. And I think that's the thing that I've been most impressed with through 2 weeks is, surely, the play on the field I expected. Just the mental toughness and the willingness or the ability to not be broken by that situation is going to pay dividends.
Well, you got to think back to college. He had to wait his turn at USC. He eventually was not the starter, became the starter, became a star. But New York is a tough place to play. There's
you know no a thing or about two about that.
I was drafted there as number one overall pick. A lot of expectations came with that.
Yeah.
I had Richie Dam Kotite for my head coach. You probably don't even know who that is.
I know the name, but that's it. Yeah.
But imagine coming from where I came from at USC, winning and doing those things, to coming and looking at my coach in the corner talking on the cell phone doing practice.
Right.
You know, you had to stay strong, because what happens is not only the fans, but the media will eat you alive.
Kill you, right?
And if you allow that to happen to you, something that Sam didn't do, even though he could have very easily pointed the finger and said, well, I'm doing my job. They're not doing theirs. They're not developing me.
Right.
He just said, you know what, I'm going to get the opportunity to leave.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go somewhere else. And that somewhere else is in Carolina, and he's thriving.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing that helps him thrive is Christian McCaffrey. When you've got somebody like that in your offense, how does that help Sam Darnold?
Well, they do a great job of getting McCaffrey the ball in ways, and then they also do a great job of using McCaffrey to get other people the football. All right, so first of all, they come out second down in 12 personnel. One back, two tight end. Now, what does that do? Forces you to leave linebackers on the field. That linebacker is lined up where a cornerback is going to be. Now, the Saints play a shell defense. This is what we see in the NFL now. So you have a flat. You've got a deep half, quarters, and yes, that linebacker is going to be responsible for a quarter of the field. These inside defenders are really going to be known as mats. Now, this is Christian McCaffrey right here by himself. That's the guy to pay attention to. Now, first of all, McCaffrey knows when that defense is going to be playing in shell coverage. The Saints aren't stupid. Defenses aren't stupid. They're actually going to try to take this defensive end and hit him as he's going to try to get into his release to make sure that he bumps off his route, because McCaffrey is actually going to be matched up one-on-one in that linebacker because the way that the Panthers set this play up. So watch the avoiding of that hit. Bang, right there, he avoids that hit. Now what they do with McCaffrey is they give him a two-way go in this linebacker. Press on his toes, and if he's sitting inside of you, Christian, break out. And then if he's sitting outside of you, press on his toes and break in. Now watch the great route by Christian McCaffrey. Sets him, presses the outside, bang, across his face. Now, that's cookies right there. That's an easy throw for Sam Darnold. Well, that's a way to get Christian McCaffrey the ball. Now, can we use that dynamic threat to get other people on our football team the ball? Now, this is DJ Moore at the bottom of the screen right here. They really want to throw him down in the red zone. Just a little skinny slant right there. And Keyshawn knows, oftentimes, when teams do this, they cut the receiver split down. You don't want to do that because it condenses the window, right? So what they do is they leave him out here in his full split. And now what they're going to do is take Christian McCaffrey and motion him out. Now, it's man coverage. These linebackers actually have Christian McCaffrey. If he goes to the top of the screen, this linebacker, that guy would be responsible for him. This backer would be responsible to flow that way. And if he goes to the bottom of the screen, this guy would have to flow that way. Now, watch what they do. McCaffrey is lined up to the left of Sam Darnold. They got DJ Moore in that full split. Now, there he goes. There goes that linebacker. This linebacker has to flow with him to make sure that he's going to cover Christian McCaffrey. They left the linebacker on the far side of the field to cover all this space, Key. You know it. All
ride the
space
hump.
Now.
Make him ride the hump.
All that space now is open. Quick little win by DJ Moore. Look at that linebacker. He's left in no man's land. They created that big window just by motioning out Christian McCaffrey. It is brilliant. So there's a lot of ways that they use him to get him the ball, easy throws for Sam Darnold. And then they use him to help Sam Darnold's other pieces, DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, Dan Arnold, to get open as well.
What a weapon to have. Let's flip it quickly to the other side as Davis Mills gets his first start for the Texans. What's he going to see tonight against this Panthers defense? Kind of scary,
pressure,
right?
Pressure. He's going to see a lot of pressure. You know, this defensive front for Carolina, I would say, is the best in football that people don't know about. There's going to be a lot of different blitzes. If you go back and watch the Saints game, at the end of the first half, they ran the same blitz three times in a row, Carolina did. New Orleans could not pick it up. And so he's going to see a lot of different exotic blitzes. He's going to see a lot of press in your face man coverage. I will say this about Davis Mills that I was impressed with last week. He was courageous with the football. He wasn't check down Charlie. He was aggressive with it. His arm is stronger than you think. He's going to see a lot of pressure. There is a ton of challenges ahead of him tonight with this Carolina defense.
You know, some of the Stanford coaching staff has actually made comparisons to Andrew Luck, just a lot less playing time. And of course, the questions at quarterback, well, high praise, in Houston continue. As Deshaun Watson's inactive for the third straight week, Watson currently facing 22 active lawsuits regarding allegations of sexual assault and inappropriate behavior. Let's bring in Ed Werder from Houston now. Ed, how are Watson and the Texans handling the situation as the season continues needs to play out?
Yeah, Laura, the Texans have moved Tyrod Taylor to injured reserve and have chosen rookie Davis Mills to make his first NFL start, even with the NFL's reigning passing champion Deshaun Watson on the roster. Watson, I'm told, is a virtual non-entity with the Texans, with one team source telling me they often forget he's even on the team unless they see him in the hallway going to or from practice. The source said that first-year coach David Culley and GM Nick Caserio have effectively isolated Watson from the entire team. The source said since the season started from game one till now, he's a non-issue until his name is mentioned outside the building. I'm told that Culley cannot wait for the situation to be permanently resolved, but that he knew what he was getting into when he accepted the job here. The fact that the NFL sent a statement at the beginning of training camp that Watson could participate fully with the team and has not changed that position publicly suggests that the current arrangement was created not by the league, but by the Texans and Watson. As for Watson, sometimes involved in individual meetings, but he doesn't participate in practices because the Texans have demonstrated throughout training camp they don't want to invest snaps in a quarterback who seems unlikely to ever play another down for the franchise. Watson remains committed to forcing a trade from Houston, no matter how long that may take. Laura, a source close to Watson telling me, quote, if you're paying him $10 million to sit this year, you don't think he'd take $30 million and sit next year?
Interesting stuff. Ed, thanks for the report there. Just about 4 hours from kickoff of week three in the NFL. Plenty more to come on NFL Live today. 20 years ago today marks a day that changed the NFL forever. One hit, one new starting quarterback. The man who literally wrote the book on the Pats dynasty joins us with some insight on Tom Brady. Plus, what does Dan Orlovsky have in common with L. Duncan's daughter? Take a listen to this.
Daddy, you can do it, Daddy. I'm waiting for you, Teddy.
Watch
where you're going, Teddy.
That's just fantastic.
The Dan Wagon's back.
I thought she was going to say same, like, palette of food.
Well, probably.
Beautiful video.
Because you have the palette of a child. In fact, you know what? Eva Duncan has a way better palette than you do.
Smarter,
no
too.
Way she's so bland.
The Dan Wagon.
It's back. Toot, toot.
Toot, toot.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Chicken. Back on NFL Live, a special anniversary today for Tom Brady. 20 years ago, one hit changed the course of sports history as Jets linebacker Mo Lewis put that brutal hit on Patriots quarterback Drew Bledsoe and knocked him out of the game. In came the unproven youngster Tom Brady. We all know what happened for, well, the next 20 years and is still happening. Let's bring in Seth Wickersham, author of It's Better to Be Feared, The New England Patriots Dynasty and the Pursuit of Greatness. That book set to hit bookshelves next month. Seth, how was that hit on Mo Lewis viewed then, and how should it be viewed now with the passage of time?
Yeah, you know, it's been viewed in the regard to the how it launched Tom Brady's career. And when I wrote about it today for on ESPN.com for ESPN Plus, I wanted to look at it from the point of view of Drew Bledsoe and that Drew Bledsoe almost died. And how did that sort of impact Tom Brady? You know, when he's always talked about it, he's always said he's talked about it within the context of the fragility of playing quarterback and knowing that it can all disappear at any moment. And so you better never give up your chance once you get it on the field. But I think that with the passage of time, you look at it within the fragility of life. A couple years ago when Kobe Bryant died, remember Tom Brady released that big statement, and there was a lot of soul searching in that statement. And I think that how it hit him and why it hit him so hard was because all of this can be taken away permanently at any moment. And I think that it was another reaffirmation that if this can all disappear at any moment, why not do what you love to do for as long as you can? And I think it serves as another reminder about why he wants to play football at least until age 45.
Yeah, really interesting perspective there. Seth, as Tom Brady's personal trainer today was in the news a little bit, Alex Guerrero, he's been with Brady since his time in New England. He had some interesting comments. You're seeing him right here. He said, as Tom got into his late 30s or early 40s, I think Bill, talking about Belichick, was still trying to treat him like that 20-year-old kid that he drafted. And all the players, I think, realized Tom was different. He's older, so he should be treated differently. And all the players, none of them would have cared that he was treated differently. I think that was such a Bill thing. He never evolved. So you can't treat someone who's in his 40s like they're 20. It doesn't work. In your reporting, Seth, are there any examples that speak to Guerrero's opinion here?
Yeah, a couple things on that. I mean, number one, myself, Jeff Darlington, we reported on this stuff years ago. And it is true that Tom Brady was really getting sick and tired of the, you know, Johnny from Foxborough High couldn't hit this pass routine. And Gisele Bündchen was definitely getting sick and tired of it. At one point, she talked to Robert Kraft about it. But look, and I think that while Bill Belichick did evolve in some ways, it clearly wasn't as much as treating Brady differently as much as he's getting treated in Tampa, where he's almost a member of the organization at the executive level in addition to just being a quarterback. And if I can just take a second, I mean, you know, for the long, and Tom Brady Sr., went on Tom Curran on NBC Sports Boston's podcast and said some things about Belichick this week. And I write about this in the book, but there's a moment where Brady was getting so sick and tired of his dad talking for him. And he said, "Dad, I don't want to ever see your name in the paper again." And Tom Sr. said, "You know, I control myself as much as I can," with a little bit of a wink. And so the question is, why is this coming out now? Why is Tom Sr. talking now? Why is Alex Guerrero talking now? And I wonder if it's because the Patriots game is coming up, and they're saying things that Tom Brady himself doesn't want to come out and say.
That's interesting, and I actually think you're onto something there, Seth. I wouldn't be surprised at all. Thanks to Seth Wickersham again.
Thank you.
This is his book, It's Better to Be Feared, The New England Patriots Dynasty, The Pursuit of Greatness. It hits bookshelves next month.
It's a great book.
Seth, for
I got it.
Us.
It's a great book.
So much this week that you're putting them on the Dan wagon.
Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen has been so good.
Fires into the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo!
I have to talk about Justin Herbert. They have unlocked him being confident. The White Tiger himself, Rob Gronkowski.
Holy guacamole!
My man Travis Kelce is on the Dan wagon.
Who else is he putting on the wagon? Oh, Dan, the wagon is back. I mean, it looks like you get a little upgrade on the wagon this year.
Well, can we get my head season. To fit it just a little bit better?
No, that's your actual head size. Who's on the Dan
Keyshawn's
wagon this
man,
week?
He's never been on it. This week, it's the first one of the year, 2021.
Woo!
We are going to put Two Glove
Teddy Bridgewater on the bandwagon to start this season. I think the reality for Teddy is he's always been a super smart player that did like the simple stuff and very brilliant mentally, but the physical has caught up. So how's he operating the mental stuff so far? So hooks on the outside, hook over the ball, and then a wide release by KJ Hamler. You start over the ball, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, foot in the ground. You look at the tight end. Is he there? No. He's locked down by the linebacker. Work to the squeeze, bottom of the screen. I got two guys going into a pass concept, one linebacker underneath. He's my responsibility. Watch two gloves. Little head and shoulders goes a long way. Receiver, now get to the top of the numbers on that hook. That defender drives ball out on time completion. We've seen that version, but this is the version that we haven't seen a ton in the past. Teddy Bridgewater. So scissors in the slot, and then an outside post to the big receiver, Cortland Sutton. Now, the read for Teddy Bridgewater, since it is zone, is that safety. That safety's got eyes on the slot receiver. Teddy knows it, and Teddy's going to have vision on him. If that safety collapses on that slot receiver, I got to put that ball out to a big post. Now, Keyshawn knows this. Once I see that safety collapse, this post is 1, 3, 4, 5, hitch, and it's 45 to 50 yards from where the line of scrimmage is. This is perfect, Teddy Two Gloves. 50 yards right on the hash. That is an absolutely perfect throw. And you've watched the aggression by Teddy Bridgewater. That was not a guy that we saw in the past. He's moving around so much. So, like I said, I think he's always been a guy that's been incredibly mental, and the physical has caught up. And that's always been opposite. There's always been quarterbacks that came into the NFL that were really good physically, and the mental eventually catches up or doesn't. He's been in the reverse order.
You know, I realize it's been a while since he was so injured, but it does feel like him being finally healthy, too, probably some of that confidence.
Watch him move. Absolutely.
Right? He's moving really well.
Time.
Those Yeehaw! Broncos, watch out for him. Yeehaw!
That was Broncos on the wagon first of the year. I see you, Keith.
Yes. Okay, the Dan wagon returns, I think, next week. You did so good. We got to bring it back. Now time for our DraftKings predictions. We start with you, Marcus Spears. 5 or more sacks for the Denver defense, you think?
No, I say 4 or less, and it's because I think the Jets will learn that Zach Wilson was under intense pressure last week, and it resulted in a lot of interceptions. So the plan needs to be different, and you cannot allow Von Miller and company to get after this young quarterback, because you'll end up with the same results that we saw him have last week.
Broncos, Jets, one to look out for. A key, more receiving yards, A.J. Brown or Julio Jones?
Julio Jones. I mean, you look at the performance last week, he had 8 catches, 123 yards, 28 yards, average about 21 yards a catch. What coaches like to do when you win football games is they like to stick to things that work. He has now become A.J. Brown, and A.J. Brown has now become Corey Davis for the Tennessee Titans.
Oh, well, everyone's kind of figuring out their identity there. They take on the Colts. All right, coming up next, Mahomes versus Herbert. Someone here thinks the Chargers need to get back to where they were last year if they want to win. We'll be right back.
DraftKings is the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. And this Sunday only, new players can play free for over $1 million in total prizes when you make your first deposit. Download the DraftKings app and sign up with the code NFLLive.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Our week 3 Monday Night Football matchup, a huge early season NFC East showdown. Jalen Hurts and the 1-1 Eagles in the Lone Star State taking on Dak Prescott, 1-1 Cowboys. It's 8 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Deportes and the ESPN app. ESPN2 has the Monday Night Football with Peyton and Eli Manning broadcast. Do not miss it. Also, Monday Night Countdown is on ESPN. Hey, one of the unfortunate storylines of week 2, tons of quarterback injuries, Adam Schefter. Let's get the latest with quarterback moves beginning in Chicago.
Well, Lord, Justin Fields is preparing to make his first NFL start on Sunday with Andy Dalton sidelined with a bone bruise on his knee. Nick Foles will serve as the backup as Justin Fields gets ready to make that start at Cleveland against Baker Mayfield and the Browns. Highly anticipated start for Justin Fields, but he will be the guy And as soon as Andy Dalton is healthy, the Bears say he will be the quarterback for Chicago moving forward. Big Ben Roethlisberger limited at practice again today due to that pec injury that caused him problems. He was injured early in the game, didn't know exactly when he was hurt, but he did take an awful lot of shots on Sunday against the Las Vegas Raiders defense. Obviously affected him, dealing with that pec injury right now. It looks like he'll be able to play, but he was limited again at practice today. And as for Derek Carr, who was suffered an ankle injury in that same game, went underwent an MRI on Monday. John Gruden said at that point he was questionable for Sunday's game against the Miami Dolphins, the toolless Dolphins. Derek Carr's been a full participant at practice the last couple of days, so it looks like he should be ready to go on Sunday, despite the fact that his ankle may not be fully healthy. And Lamar Jackson, we mentioned at the top of the show, Laura, not at practice today. Mentioned yesterday that his hip was sore from the flip, but the Ravens listed him on the injury report today with an illness, a stomach bug. So it certainly doesn't look related to the flip, and it looks like Lamar should be able to go on Sunday for the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, good news. Hope to see him back out there. Thanks, Adam, for the latest there. And back to what very well could be the game of Week 3 with the Chiefs and Chargers. Since Week 2 of last season, Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert ranked first and third in pass yards, with Herbert trailing only Tom Brady over that span. Week 2 of last season was Herbert's first career start. Remember that, when he just got thrown in there? Also happened to come against the Chiefs, by the way. Only one player has had more pass yards than Herbert through a player's first 17 career starts in NFL history, and that would be Patrick Mahomes. These two connected in a really good conversation. It's making Dan say over again. What do you want to see about Justin Herbert and the Chargers offense in this one, Dan?
Go back to last year. I mean, if there was, you guys remember the throw this weekend against Dallas, the third and forever, when it's just that the absolute bombed hole shot to Keenan Allen? That play right there should be the perfect example of what they should do, because right now they're two drop back on first and second down. They're not pushing the ball downfield enough on early downs. And the arm strength of that throw makes me say, guys, you want this throw right here? That ball is an absolute missile. But don't wait till third down. The simplest way for me to describe it is this. Last year, on first and second down, Justin Herbert threw the ball 20 yards or more 46 times. That was fifth in the NFL. He was top 10 in QBR, top 10 in completion percentage, touchdown interception ratio in that situation. So far through three games, they've done it twice this year. Through two games, they've done it three times. They're not throwing the ball downfield enough on early downs and take advantage of that big arm.
Marcus.
Dan, I see you there on the early downs, but also something came to mind when we were talking earlier about this team. They need to get the run game going when it's there, when it's available, and they need to figure out how to get some easy throws for Justin Herbert as well. When you think about the game with them against Dallas, Dallas solved the coverage, and they knew we have a box that's advantageous for Zeke Elliott and Tony Pollard. I think the Chargers need to start viewing it that way. Yes, I'm enamored with Justin Herbert's arm. Yes, they are devastating when they want to push the ball down the field. They have one-on-one matchups between Mike Williams and Keenan that those guys are going to win 90% of the time. But when you want to be a complete team, you need to have that ability, that option, when teams aren't giving you what they're giving you. Now, Herbert has thrown three picks on the season, so it's trending in a bad direction with him turning the football over. And I think they need to start adding a little bit more of easiness, of ease to his game, and allow him to just matriculate at times as opposed to looking for the big play.
Marcus, you mentioned those three interceptions. I'll mention it real quick for all of us. Don't do it, man. Don't turn the ball over. Just don't do that and you'll be fine. The sophomore slump is coming if he continues that, Dan. Three picks in two games. Now do the math. At the end of the year, what will that be if he continues down this way? But I don't think he will. I think he will continue to show that he's capable of doing some amazing things. But a guy like this, when you're young and you think you got arm strength, you will try to pierce the ball in places that you shouldn't.
But that's funny. You want him to throw it downfield more, and these guys are saying
early downs.
But you agree with that?
Yeah, throw it early downs is fine, because when you get caught in situations on long downs and third down and long, everybody's sitting back there waiting for
you. You're trying to do too much, but the arm is so strong. Yes. I can fit it in here. I got to be in first down.
This is second down. You're not playing against Oregon State corners. This is not one of those situations, and we have to tell young quarterbacks all the time, say, man, These dudes in the NFL, they get paid for a living.
And they also adjust. And so, obviously, defenses have had some time to see Justin Herbert on field. We got more coming your way on NFL Live. And you do not want to miss this next. Micah Parsons and Arnold Schwarzenegger have something in common.
We'll be right back.
Wow.
Yeah,
you could have kept that one.
I tried so hard to do it right, and it was so bad.
That was good.
Well, you do one.
I'll be back.
You said we'll be back.
I know, because we'll be back.
Keyshawn, yours is terrible. Yours is worse than Ruddy's.
I'll be back. Kiss. I put my heart in it, my guts, my sweat,
my tears. I've been doing this thing since the start. Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You got to go crack.
Coming this week on Sunday NFL Countdown, before he faces Patrick Mahomes, a one-on-one with Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert. Plus, Randy ranks the week's best catches in You Got Moss. Kickoff week three with Countdown at 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN. And Monday Night Football features an early season NFC East battle between the Eagles and the Cowboys. Both teams 1-1, a chance to take advantage in the division in September. Jalen Hurts is going to have to think about Cowboys rookie Micah Parsons, who's lived up to his first-round billing and then some. Here's Parsons on hunting quarterbacks.
Yeah, I would say every quarterback that's on the season is on the hit list. I mean, I want all of them. Herbert was just the guy I had that week, you know what I'm saying? But Hurts, he's on the hit list now too. I look at it, be like the Terminator out there.
Oh, Marcus,
there we go. If the leader of my defense, ain't like that, I don't want him. I want that guy leading my defense. I want him talking. I want him going after people and backing up what he's saying. And so far, through this early season, number 11 looked like everything we thought he would after the Dallas Cowboys draft.
Man, it's
been Micah Parsons.
It's been fun to watch, especially for Swagoo. How about those Cowboys wide receivers, though? Dan, you noticed something that they did that's going to help them against the Eagles. You and Key, take it away.
Yeah, they were willing to put their face on people on the defense, and that's the big thing that helped their run game kind of go to the next level. All right, so Key, we're going to look at CeeDee Lamb at the bottom of the screen right here. I want you to kind of teach everybody, with perimeter run coming his way, what's the key important stuff when he's got to block that corner with the trailing defender?
First of all, he needs to know where the ball's coming behind him. Keep his eyes on the defender. Don't turn around and look to see where the back is at. Push him as much as you can, and at some point, stop the engagement. It'll be a touchdown.
Okay, so beautiful job by CeeDee out there at that outside leverage, right, and forcing that defender to trail over the top. My next one, because this is one that was incredibly impressive to me, because this is Amari Cooper. Everyone says a $100 million guy, okay? Now, this is Derwin James at the bottom of this screen right here with this outside leverage on the angle, and his job is to scrape down the line of scrimmage and chase down this run. What's an important aspect for this one, Keith?
Well, the timing, first of all, could have been a little bit better, but if Amari Cooper could just somehow get in front of him on the right side shoulder, he can have a much cleaner block. He almost lost him, but that's okay. He doesn't have to be a Rottweiler. He can still just kind of touch him and pass him off.
Now, what do you mean by get in front of him? What's the challenge, or what's the important part of that?
I would like to see this helmet in front of him inside of the right shoulder so he doesn't lose him when he's engaging. He kind of falls off of him, and then he can make the tackle. But for whatever reason, he still pushed him down.
All right, now this is the one that I love the most in the game. So, again, Amari Cooper at the bottom of the screen right here. This safety's job in quarters coverage or shell coverage, he's got to fill towards the run. Now, I always say, Key, this is a choice, right? When that safety's coming down there, you got to go be willing to put your face on him. Ooh!
Well, that's good. Although, I don't want him turning his body. Turn up and face him up. Don't be afraid. It was almost like he closed his eyes before he got to collision. That's okay, though, Dan. It's okay. Because he did make
his job, right?
He did his job. You don't have to kill a dude. Just get in front of him. Just move him just a little bit.
So more often than not, don't you think it's like a mentality thing for these
receivers?
You
got to have a dog mentality.
Do you have to have a dog mentality? Or do you have to have like, all right, I'll do what you want, coach mentality?
You got to have a dog mentality. Because if you're blocking and you're doing your thing, at some point in time later in the game, it sets you up for all sorts of things. in the game where you're going to touch the football.
Huh, really? Really? Well, let's see what we have here. Let's look at the big fella. Oh, my.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I see him peeking back, though. You said don't peek back.
Hey, you see that dude on the ground over there?
You said don't peek back.
It was taking too long.
All right, now let's watch another one. A little short motion. All right, look, orbit motion. Yep. Bring him in, bring him out.
I go up. I get the safety.
It's coming. It's coming right there.
No, I got my safety there. Now I go chase. Now I got to get the other dude, McKenzie. Now Mike's walking into the end zone. So in the end, they give you a little sugar.
What do you mean, New York Jets? Oh, is this
you? Now I'm at tight end in U personnel, right? I leak out of the backfield. Oh, who is that? Ain't that smart Teddy Bridgewater? I
mean, let me bring him back.
Bring him back.
Let me bring him back.
Are we taking shots at Teddy? Wait, that's not the Patriot way. What you looking at? Look at Teddy.
Right here.
I got him fooled. He think I'm going to block him. I sleek out. Easy touchdown for Ray Lewis.
Wow.
Easy money.
Teddy almost fell. Teddy almost fell. Now, you know me well enough by now that I'm not going to let you come on television without taking a shake at a shot, T.
Well, where'd the video go?
Come on. I need the big screen.
No.
Come on.
Oh, we got it.
We got it. Patience. Now, this is a guy that a little tug there. A little tug there.
I didn't get caught, though, Dan.
A little tug right here.
I did not get caught.
Look at that left hand.
I didn't get caught.
Look at that. They call it.
Dan, some of us get calls and some of us don't. That's all I can tell you.
Hey,
I ripped his jersey off. He said, now that's Keyshawn, let it go.
Man, must be nice to be a number one overall pick. Then you get all the calls, right, Key?
Yeah, that is right, Laura.
Still to come on NFL Live, like Bucks versus Rams this week. If Brady doesn't get it done on Sunday, what'll be the reason? Marcus Spears has the answers and some tape to back it up. Tape to back it up on NFL Live. Let's get these boys back to the desk.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Again wants to launch.
Chop all the load.
Brady from the center. Godwin's got it. 5 touchdown passes for Tom Brady.
Boom! It's Kupp again. Touchdown, LA!
Cannot wait for week three. Tom, we're glad you're with us here on NFL Live. Adam Schefter, some injuries and illness to take into account ahead of Bucks-Rams. What do we know, starting with Sean McVay?
Well, Laura, he was not at practice yesterday, and I'm told it was due to a stomach bug, nothing more, that he should be back at practice very soon, if not today, and that he'll be a go for Sunday in a game that is highly anticipated in what might be as anticipated a game this weekend as we see. Rams, Buccaneers, Sean McVay will be back. He will be back on despite that stomach bug he had yesterday. As for his running back, Darrell Henderson, he's got some injured rib cartilage. They will test him. No go in practice again today. For the second straight day, no surprise there. This has been the Rams' plan all along, to test him on Friday to see whether or not he'll be able to go on Sunday. If he can't, Sony Michel would be the next man up for the Los Angeles Rams, and the Buccaneers are likely to be without Antonio Brown, who tested positive for COVID this week. Placed on the reserve COVID-19 list, he would need to pass 2 tests in a 24-hour period to be eligible to play on Sunday, but my understanding is that's going to be very difficult to do, and I don't believe that the Buccaneers are counting on him at this point in time. Tom Brady will just have to rely on Rob Gronkowski, Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, and the plethora of targets there in Tampa.
Yeah, really tough for Tom there. You got all those other guys he's going to have to rely on. Thanks, Adam, for the latest. Yeah. Enjoy the start of week three. Let's get Jenna Lane in here from Tampa. And Jenna, Tom Brady threw 2 interceptions as the Bucs lost to the Rams last November. What lessons did they learn from that matchup they talked about today?
Yeah, Laura, Brady said that this was a really, really tough matchup because the Rams don't give away much pre-snap. They hold their disguises really, really well, and they get home very, very quickly as a pass rush, so he's not often able to get to his second read. He also called defensive tackle Aaron Donald one of the greatest defensive players of all time. But I pointed out to offensive coordinator Byron Leftwich, you guys haven't given up a sack to Donald the last two games you faced him, and he said, don't jinx it. But on the other side of the ball, stopping Cooper Kupp is paramount because they surrendered 145 receiving yards to him last year. Tackling must improve. He's so very shifty. They also need better play at the nickelback position, which they haven't really gotten in the absence of Sean Murphy Bunting. They may, though, have an answer in safety Mike Edwards, who has been moonlighting at the position. He had two pick sixes last week off Matt Ryan, including one at the nickel position.
Yeah, it's a good point, Jenna. You see this on your screen. ESPN FPI, the Bucs only have a 44% chance to win. It's the only game they're not favored in 2021 against these Rams. Thanks for the latest from Jenna. This will be Brady's second game against the Rams in a Buccaneers uniform. As we said, the first one didn't go so well. Brady posted season lows in yards per attempt, completion percentage over expectation, and posted his second worst off-target percentage in a game in the loss. It's also worth noting that Brady was getting the ball out quickly, averaging just 2.3 seconds to throw. His second fastest in any game with the Bucs. He was feeling some of that pressure, feeling some of what that defense was doing, trying to get the ball out quickly, but it wasn't going well. Marcus, what is the key for the Rams defensively and their success against Brady?
Yeah, L Boogie, you'll get it out your damn hands fast, too, if Aaron Donald was on the other side of the football.
Get this hot potato out of here.
And the way that defense uses him. Listen, this is one of those teams that gives him the problems that causes him to be a below-average quarterback, and it's because of 99 and how they use him. He's on the exterior here, but this is still going to turn into in-your-face pressure. This is why Tom Brady has been getting the ball out of his hands so fast, and I guarantee you it's not because Aaron Donald is not winning. It's because the ball is gone by the time he gets there. Now, in this traditional three technique position, and you see how fast this up the field rush happens. This is not a bad job by an offensive lineman when you have Aaron Donald, but in order to step up, which is Tom Brady's strong suit, you cannot have that pressure be that fast in your face. 99 presents those challenges, but it infiltrates throughout the rest of the defense, right? Jalen knows that I don't have to cover my guy for a long period of time. Williams on the other side. There will be pressure when they are trying to go deep. That's why it's so important for the Los Angeles Rams front four to be able to generate that outside of Aaron Donald to give Tom Brady the problems. You go at the head of the snake. Mm. And if anybody has a king snake for everybody kills cobras, Aaron Donald is that king.
Oh, aggressive there. I like that tape, big fella. I think one of the more important things any offense should do is have a great vantage point of who you are and yourself. And if you go back on top of Marcus's tape to watch the Atlanta game, I do think there's two things that, as well as Tampa played offensively, that the Rams are going to look at and go, okay, what can we do? They put overload on one side, three defensive linemen to the left, one to the right, and wraparound. That forces communication and pass off up front. You can see them doing that with Aaron Donald. Zone pressure, something the Rams will do. Make those tailbacks, okay, 27, Ronald Jones, you got to go block that linebacker. You can't whiff on him. So it's important that the Bucs look at their own tape and go, all right, we put some stuff on tape that the Rams are definitely challenge us or test us in, and I'm interested to see if they've kind of corrected that.
Key, how is this Rams to handle the Bucs' pass catchers? It sounds like Antonio Brown won't be out there, but they've got a wealth of opportunity with those other guys.
Well, forget about Jalen Ramsey, right? Just put him over there in the
X.
corner. Fight what you want. Okay, so that's that, Deion Sanders-like. Then when you start to look at the other Gronkowskis of the world, the Mike Evans of the world, the Chris Godwins of the world, and whoever at the party, you got to think James Fuller or Jordan Fuller, Darius Williams, David Long, and Taylor have got to hit their assignments because they're going to be in pass coverage. They're not taking these off the field at all. They can't just rely on Aaron Donald to get the pressure, but the Rams, they're going to have to get the pressure because those other guys may not be able to hold up. Jalen Ramsey, we got that. Don't even worry about that.
Yeah.
It's the other guys that got to come to the party.
Can I just touch on Fuller, Rapp, and those guys? I think, you know, Brady's always tried to attack the middle of the field. differently nowadays, though. He's more aggressive throwing the ball down the middle of the field. So those safeties and linebackers that you come, they got to play with good discipline.
We got time for one more thing before we go. That game is Sunday, but we got a game tonight to kick off week three. And for this, you got the Panthers taking on the Texans. How about this for the Panthers social media? They put out, you know, hey, that's Friday and Saturday. You'll see it. See, look, football Saturdays, football Sundays. And then how about Thursdays with a big blow of the kiss and the wink? Mwah! Okay, by the way, we're all in the Panthers tonight. Everybody's picking the Panthers?
Yeah. Fight on.
Yes.
Arnold.
Look, there he goes. You don't even do it right.
Ta-da.
What do you mean?
A fight on your fingers. Look at him. You got to have him. Got to have him a
certain
way.
Keep pounding. The man doesn't need your
bunny ears.
Keep pounding.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow on NFL Live.
Later.